So the next set of verses is more about how one develops this. I mean, actually, because it's a particular text, the how and the why and the what and all that sort of stuff is very technical, and I'm not going into very much of it. So there's all sorts of meditations stacked behind a lot of these different verses. So Bhante says, the fancies of this life are banished by keeping in mind that we have no time to spare of opportunities and advantages hard to find. The fancies of the hereafter are banished by repeatedly thinking of acts and their fruits infallible, the miseries of the round. And the other translation says, leisure and opportunity are difficult to find. There is no time to waste. Reverse attraction to this life. Reverse attraction to future lives. Think repeatedly of the infallible effects of karma and the miseries of this world. So I'm just going to go into a couple of things here. Leisure and opportunity are difficult to find. And it's because they're difficult to find that there is no time to waste. So this is focusing our mind on a motivation. So what is, you're right. So what is leisure? So leisure is, in the Tibetan school, leisure is to be free of the eight ways that a person can lack freedom. And I'm just going to list them simply. I will stick this talk up on the notice board, so if you don't want to write it all down, then just leave it. You'll see it listed. So leisure is where we are when we're free of the eight ways that a person can lack freedom. And the eight ways that a person can lack freedom is to hold wrong views, such as not believing in karma, to be born as an animal, or as a hungry ghost, or as a hell being, to be born in a land where the Buddha's teachings are not available, to be born in a land where that lacks morality, and to be born as a human being with disabilities that stop us from practicing, and to be born in a temporary paradise of pleasure. So all these things are going to they're going to undermine our ability to connect with the Dharma. They're going to undermine our ability to make changes and to have mastery and be empowered. So all of us sitting in this room will be free of the eight ways that a person can lack freedom. So all of us have leisure under that school of thinking. And then we have fortune or opportunity. And these are inner and outer opportunities. So on the inside, we're born as a human being. We're born in a central land with traditional morality. We're born with all our faculties intact, and we have not committed deeds such as killing one's parents that's going to have such a huge effect on us that that's inescapable. And we have faith in the teachings. And our outer opportunities are that we live in a world where a Buddha has come or is taught, so we're in contact with the Dharma. His teachings are still spoken. His teachings have not been lost. People are around us that are practicing, and practitioners generally enjoy the kind of support that they require. So I think, again, even if you just don't go into the technical details, I think it's worth noting that we have a life of leisure and opportunity. When you lead retreats at Taraloka and you see the kind of women that come to Taraloka, you know how much leisure and opportunity there is in people's lives. I mean, the fact that as women, us lot can practice the Dharma, be in contact with the Dharma. We can create enough money and leisure time to actually attend retreats. We're not so concerned or preoccupied with keeping our children from starvation, keeping our children from war. We don't have to practice in a secrecy where our lives are in danger. And we're not, our life does not demand so much upon us that we haven't got any room to think of anything else. And I saw about 20 or 30 years ago, and I went to Egypt. I was watching donkeys circle a well. You know how they draw up water from a well, and they have these donkeys that walk around and they're harnessed in? They just walked around and around and around. And they have a kind of dullness in their face because of that action. And I had this awful moment. This was long before I got involved with the Dharma. I had this awful moment where I saw those faces on some of the people around that well. Their life of tragedy and sort of survival, I think, was just the same. So take these opportunities, do not arise very often, and make use of them. Don't just assume you'll have them forever. Politics can change. Financial circumstances can change. We all know that. We know that quite a lot at the moment. You don't know what your life looks like in the future. So contemplate the value, our value, of our own leisure and freedom, or our own opportunities. And also contemplate how hard they are to find. You know, when you take humanity as a whole population, the people practicing, the people able to practice, the people that have those kind of conditions that just been described are very, very small indeed. So don't get distracted. Don't get distracted with your life. You've got an opportunity now to use it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it on the worldly winds. Don't get caught up in things that just don't deliver the goods. Then the last two verses, or the last verse, sorry, two translations. When by so practicing there is born not even for a moment desire for the round's well-being, and a sense of longing for deliverance all day and night arises, then it is that withdrawal is born. And the other translation? Contemplating this, when you do not for an instant wish the pleasures of samsara, and day and night remain intent on liberation, you have then produced renunciation. So renunciation here isn't just a state of what you're trying to do, it's actually a state of being. So you're not experiencing any desire for worldly happiness, the worldly winds. In the commentary there's this lovely line, the thought of achieving freedom rushes into your mind and you genuinely want freedom. It's very interesting, you know, just checking in when you're doing something, having a conversation with somebody, just checking in, what am I really wanting from this? Am I genuinely wanting freedom, or am I just feeding the worldly winds? Am I just wanting this person to like me? Or am I really wanting the communication to move forward? You know, what are you feeding right now? I don't mean right now, well, you could think about that. Right now, what are you feeding? In your mind, what are you feeding? You know, are you genuinely interested in the spiritual life, in transforming your life, in transforming yourself? Or are you doing what one teacher said to one of my friends, polishing the wheel, which is quite a good thing. And the Dharma isn't a bad polish. It will polish the wheel to some extent. You know, we are a bit freer. We are a bit more empowered. We do have a bit more, you know, if we have more metta, life is a bit more pleasant. If we're more mindful, life is a bit more pleasant. So the wheel does run a bit more smoothly. So are you just polishing the wheel, or are you really trying to do something right now? Another question for you. What is the difference between disgruntlement and disillusionment? So Sangharakshita sometimes says we need to be disillusioned with worldly happiness, not disgruntled.